Blog Talk Radio.
Of God, and welcome once again to another edition of Is This the Church? And I am your host, Sister AJ, and we've got another great show planned for you today. And without further ado, we'll go ahead and get started. Now, last week, we talked a little bit about a controversy, or yet another controversy on the set of The Chosen with Dallas Jenkins. And as you may remember, we did an extensive deep dive review into the show to determine whether it aligned with what the Bible says about Jesus and his disciples. And we determined that it was a lot of inconsistencies with Scripture and that it really presents a false gospel and a false Jesus. It's a Jesus that's more ecumenical than anything else, and our recommendation was to avoid it, mark and avoid Dallas Jenkins and his show. But the show is still wildly popular. They just finished with their third season as far as showing it, and then now they're in the midst of filming season four, and already there's controversy because, as you know, this is Pride Month here in the month of June, and so during the release of a promotional video last week, a pride flag was spotted on some equipment on the set, and so it set off a lot of controversy, and Dallas has had to come and try to put out these fires, which he's just not good at doing that. He comes across as arrogant and prideful and condescending toward the people who support him, and very dismissive of their concerns. He put out a statement initially, but then he also did addressed it again in another live stream that he just did here on Sunday. So we're going to continue a little bit with Dallas Jenkins and looking at that situation. And we'll get started with a video that analyzed his response that he just did on Sunday. So without further ado, let's get started.
And if we had, I'm not exactly sure what would have changed, but I'll get into that in a little bit.
So this video is a response to the live stream where Dallas responded to those who had concerns about what had taken place with the gay pride flag appearing in a scene of a promotional video for season 4, which went out to the public. I'm actually going to play you some footage of what Dallas said in this live stream and just give you some thoughts on it. I had previously put up a video on this, which I said that I would take down after 5 days, and I really want to honour that, but there was so many comments saying this needed to remain up, so I want to re-record a video and actually put in some of the scenes that Dallas said. Now, if you haven't already heard about what's gone on with this particular issue, I'm just going to play you a quick clip which will summarise that for you. So there was a gay pride flag seen on the set of The Chosen in a season 4 promotional video which has gone out to the public. The flag belonged to one of the crew members, Daniel Fritz, who is a long-time employee of The Chosen and outspoken about LGBT rights. There have already been so many reactions to this, and there's so much that I want to break down and unpack right now. Now, the whole point of this video is that really, there was one thing that Dallas had to do from the beginning that was so clear that would have resolved so many of these issues right from the beginning, and he didn't do that, unfortunately. Now, in the live stream, what he said, he really emphasised at the start of this that seeking to actually understand the concerns of people, their real issue, is of primary importance to him, and this is something that he does when there's any sort of disagreement that takes place. And then he said that he likes to go beyond that to the place where he can understand it so well that he's able to articulate that and to sympathise with those concerns even if he doesn't agree with them. And he even said that being understood is his obsession, that he just wants to be understood so that the real issue at hand can be discussed rather than something else that the other person is not meaning. But what was staggering to me is it seemed like despite all of that, he completely missed the heart issue.
I just want to say that I did watch that live stream just to see what he was going to say, and he did say that he's obsessed with being understood. But in my opinion, especially observing Dallas and how he handles these things, he's narcissistic, in my opinion, and narcissists aren't really concerned about understanding you. They want you to understand them and also give in to their point of view and just let them have their way. That's what Dallas is obsessed with as far as what I've observed, him being understood, not necessarily understanding the other person. That's why he's so condescending and dismissive every time he has to handle one of these situations, and it basically boils down to, well, I'm going to do it my way, and I really don't care what you all think, and if you don't want to watch the show anymore, oh well. He's become very arrogant and prideful, especially as the show became more and more successful.
Those genuine believers with concerns about what took place actually are concerned about. He went back to talking again about the cast and crew and how there's no litmus test for any people on the set in terms of what they believe. There's a diverse range of people with diverse beliefs and backgrounds, and that they're able to put whatever they want on their own personal equipment. Now, this is another issue. This is another discussion. I talked about this a bit in a previous video that I did, but this isn't actually the main issue at hand. And this is the thing that was really disappointing in the live stream, is that Dallas missed the main issue here. We could have discussion around that, but the main issue is actually the pride flag appearing in the scene and going out to the public. He said that he wants the show to be judged based on the content of the show. Well, that was included in a production video and put out to the public, so we can judge the show by his own standard based on what went out in that video. Now, one thing that Dallas did as well is he expressed his heart for the show, and he said that we can't judge the motives of the cast and crew, which I agree with. We shouldn't judge beyond what we can know. But we also must be careful even with our own heart and motives, because the Bible says that the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. Who can know it? And we can easily be led astray, thinking that we're operating with the right motives. And the only way to avoid this deception is to align ourselves with what the Bible says. When we do that, we know we're standing on solid ground, objective truth, and not just our subjective emotions and heart desires. Now, it was interesting in the live stream, Dallas actually used my thumbnail that I had for my previous picture of an example, or of the example of someone that is misrepresenting him. And while there's creative license that is used in those thumbnails, it had a speech bubble of him saying, "I approve," holding a pride flag. There's a lot of truth to the fact that he did approve of this. And this is the main issue that I want to get to here. Regardless of who can work on the set, can't work on the set, if there's any workplace code of conduct, anything like that, that is all a distraction and a smokescreen from the main issue here, which is that this flag, which represents immorality, defiance of God, an abomination, a perversion, rebellion against his created order for man and woman, was put out to the public. So I'm going to play you a video now of him talking in the live stream where he says that the show didn't know that this pride flag appeared in that particular scene before it went out to the public.
And I would agree that that Dallas was distracting from the main point and what he should have been addressing. I agree that the whole workplace stuff was a distraction, but I think one reason a lot of people in their videos addressed it, and we went through those videos on the show, was because Dallas, with that, tried to imply that there was nothing that he could do to address the issue and maybe talk to the man and get him to curtail some of his activities in the workplace, and that there are codes of conduct and think ways that you can do his contract that where he understands expectations as far as behavior on the set. So that was one of the reasons people addressed it. Since Dallas went there, well, let's talk about it. There were things that he could do, even though Dallas is trying to say, well, we can't do anything about it. That is what a lot of people were getting out of that. So that's why they addressed it in that way.
And we'll see what he says he would have done differently had he known.
About a month and a half ago, we finished the behind-the-scenes video, like any other behind-the-scenes video. We released it, 2 weeks ago, something like that?
Yeah, exactly, two
Sundays ago. And in the corner of the screen, you saw a 3-inch pride flag that was on one of our crew members' personal equipment. We did not intentionally put that on our video because, again, we as a show are not making stances like that and don't get involved in those waters. But and, of course, we didn't see it. It's tiny. In fact, most of the videos that you've seen about it, if you've seen any, have to actually enlarge it just so that you can notice it, because overwhelmingly people didn't notice it, and we certainly didn't notice it. And if we had, I'm not exactly sure what would have changed, but I'll get into that in a little bit. But that's not the so that's what happened.
So this is the most striking quote for me. If they had known that this appeared in the scene before they had done the final edit and sent it out, He's not exactly sure what they would have done differently. This is the main issue here. Now, he says that this was a small flag, but a small flag doesn't make it a small sin. This is an incredible sin in God's eyes, and this never should have been allowed to go out to the public. That's the main issue here. And when it did, action should have been taken immediately, an apology, saying that this isn't in line with portraying the authentic Jesus, which is the main aim of our production, and it's not in line with the gospel message. And this would have removed all confusion immediately and resolved so much of the problems that have happened because they've continued to double down and not take strong and decisive action in standing against this immorality, what this flag represents. He actually says that if they had known that it was in there, he's not even sure what he would have done differently. This just shows a woeful lack of discernment. Like, it's just incomprehensible to think this. Now, I'm going to play you a clip of what he actually says when someone asked him in the live stream, why didn't you edit it out once it had gone out?
Regarding the pride flag, Common Sense asks, why didn't you edit the gay pride flag out? I've seen where you have spent hours having to edit some parts out. You should have edited that out. So as I mentioned before, again, we didn't know. And I made the comment, I'm like, if we would have known what we would have done, yeah, I mean, obviously, we have no interest in causing, quote-unquote, controversy. I don't think we caused it. I think some other people caused it. But let's just assume for the record that we did. Obviously, we prefer to focus on the content of the show and not get into all these other side conversations. But once it was out there, and once the video was out, I thought it would have been, I don't know if the word is dishonest, to then go and delete it out, and then all the videos and comments that people are making about it, pointing it out, and then they go to watch the video and it's not there. They're trying to make a decision for themselves. I think we're not ashamed of the decision to hire cast and crew who have different beliefs, and we don't want to shrink from this controversy or from this conversation. We're willing to have it.
This is an incredible response. He said that they didn't edit out the flag once they were aware of it because he didn't want people to go back looking at the video once they'd heard the flag was in there and being confused. He could have easily put out a statement saying that we've removed the flag for these reasons. It's not in line with the authentic Jesus and the message of the gospel. The main concern and confusion should be for those people who are watching the show, seeing the flag in the promotional video and thinking to themselves, why is there a gay pride flag appearing in the video? Do they stand for progressive Christianity? Do they endorse this agenda? The fact that it has gone out to the public and then they've taken no action, it seems as if they're approving of it, and implicitly they are because they're allowing that to be out there without actually either condemning it and then removing the video. The other comment that he made was about the actors that put out a post, three of them, Judas, James and John, putting out a post supporting the LGBT movement. One of them even said, Happy Pride Month, y'all. And Dallas said that these were people that were reacting to those people who were attacking the cameraman who had the gay flag, and they were simply standing up for a friend. But this isn't the case because it went far beyond that. When you're actually putting gay pride flags in there saying, Happy Pride Month, y'all, and calling people homophobic for not adopting those ideologies, you're going well beyond that, and I felt that this was a really dishonest way of presenting those comments that the actors made. Yes, there were apologies that came out, but these apologies really just smack of worldly sorrow for the consequences of what they've done rather than actually being sorry for what they've said, and clearly they stand for these ideologies. And I don't know how anyone can watch the show and see these actors as the apostles and knowing that they hold to these ideologies and just continue to watch them playing those roles, it's just incomprehensible to me. So the thing that I really want to make clear here is that in a number of responses from Dallas and also from large Christian YouTubers who have really seemed to cover for The Chosen, they've really focused on the issue of the workplace standards, what employees are allowed to believe and put on the set. But this isn't the main issue, as I've said. The main issue here is that this flag appeared to the public. There was no apology once they were aware of it, and the video wasn't taken down. They allowed this to remain out there. And this is compromised, and this is weak. And this is very confusing to people who are out there as well, especially young Christians and undiscerning Christians, and it's incredibly sad. One of the things that's encouraged me from the previous videos and people telling me to leave up my last video, people saying that they're not watching the show anymore, that they're not giving money to the show anymore. And as long as the show stands for these sort of things, I'm really glad to hear people saying that and people waking up. I've actually done previous videos. I'll put a playlist on the screen at the end of this video talking about some of the on and off-screen problems of the show, and it is very eye-opening. And the reason that I've made a video like this, which I don't really want to make, these aren't the types of videos that I like to make. I prefer to make videos that are pointing people to Jesus, growing closer to him, becoming more like him. I'm not one of those channels that likes to just dig up dirt and create these videos, but I just didn't see people standing up, and I felt compelled to do this because I know how much influence this show has. And what I would say to anyone now that's watching this video, if you haven't already, it's time to boycott the show. And maybe when your views and your dollars are pulled from the show, they might actually get it, and they won't be able to play this balancing act anymore where they can try to please all of these cultural groups and also try to please Christians at the same time. And any Christians that really are discerning will tune out now from the show. We can really see from what's taken place that this is part of the culture war. We can see how much of the culture has influenced this show. We can see how much of the culture has influenced the church. And this itself here is just a reflection of what's taking place in the churches today in our society. They have compromised bit by bit by bit, and instead of the church and Christians influencing the world is influencing the church, and we are going further and further down this hole of immorality. We see in Romans 1 it talks about God giving people over to a reprobate mind, sending a strong delusion, and this is the type of society that we are living in at the moment. This show itself claims not to be a ministry, so that almost to avoid being held to the standard of the Bible. But the thing is, whether it's a secular production, a Christian production, a ministry, not a ministry, the truth is that it is a production which is claiming, with its number one goal, to portray the authentic Jesus. Anyone that does that, anyone who calls themselves Christian and is claiming to portray the authentic Jesus, must be held to the biblical standard. There is no exceptions to this. As I've said, I'll put the playlist up on the screen with some other videos about The Chosen. And stick around, check out some of my other...
Okay. I mostly agree, and like I said, there are a lot of problems with The Chosen, as we've observed when we analyze the show according to the scriptures. But if this is what it takes to get people to see what it is that Dallas really cares about and who he really is, it's time to start believing him. There's a saying, when people show you who they are, believe them, especially if they do it over a consistent period of time. And Dallas takes a similar pattern every time he has to address an issue or a problem that someone has with the show. And he's trying to serve two masters, and you can't do that. You'll either love one or the other. You have to choose. Is it going to be the Lord Jesus or the culture? And it appears that Dallas Jenkins chose the culture because of the way he handles these controversies. And the next video that we're going to listen to is going to talk a little bit about the business things that are going on with The Chosen here recently, and that'll maybe give us some insight on what choice that Dallas has made. So here's the next video that talks about whether The Chosen as a ministry or and certain business practices.
Business practices of Dallas Jenkins and The Chosen as our guiding piece is the notes, but we also got some videos and other pages to check out in this episode, podcast, if you want to call it that. So Dallas Jenkins has been on the defensive over allowing pride flags on the set of The Chosen, a show that dubiously claims to depict the authentic Jesus. On Sunday, Dallas Jenkins released a video explaining his position in allowing pride flags on his set. In that video, he insisted that The Chosen was not a church or a ministry, and it was a for-profit public company. That's a direct quote. And it's worth noting that Dallas Jenkins casually lies about The Chosen being a public company. The Chosen is an LLC that was initially launched its product through equity crowdfunding based on its Christmas pilot that Dallas Jenkins produced. But these shares are privately held, functioning as a democratized alternative to angel investing or venture capital funding. So angel investing is like, you know, when you go out to, when a small company, a startup gets initial investors, those are typically angel investors, and then they graduate typically to venture capitalist investors for their subsequent rounds of funding. All this happens generally before a company goes public. So that's just a little bit of how the startup industry works. Anyway, The Chosen is undoubtedly a for-profit company with an increasing shrewdness that blurs ethical lines. Whereas the first season used equity crowdfunding to raise over $13 million, the subsequent seasons would rely on the innovative pay-it-forward model offered by its distributor, Angel Studios. Angel Studios is the Mormon-owned distributor and prior fundraising mechanism of The Chosen. And put a pin in that prior, because we're going to talk about the new fundraising mechanism for The Chosen. Dallas Jenkins has claimed that The Chosen only makes money through gift sales and commercial licensing. The former is its merch shop, which includes devotional materials. The latter would likely include DVD sales, ad revenue from YouTube, and shares of theatrical releases, and a cut from its distributors, because, again, that's licensing. So that comes directly from a Dallas Jenkins video, and that introduces us to the next portion, which is the Come and See. So actually, I'm going to introduce Come and See into this mix, and then we're going to watch that video. So what about the expenses? Last year, The Chosen set up a ministry to cover their own major expenses called the Come and See Foundation, which was established in 2022. On December 10, 2022, Dallas Jenkins unveiled the Come and See Foundation as the go-to place to donate to The Chosen. The 501(c)(3) organization was established to fund the production and marketing of the series. In addition, it has also accelerated the show's translation into many languages. Jenkins states that the donations will be matched until the fundraising goal is met. The production itself appears to be where donations are going, whereas the matched donations will be going towards the marketing and translations, per Jenkins. This revenue stream for The Chosen stands in stark opposition to the status quo with Angel Studios, which we'll talk about in a little bit, because that's an interesting aspect to this story as well. So here's Dallas Jenkins in his own words.
Of The Chosen, and I want to just take a moment of your time. I promise this will be quick. The Chosen is free. It's actually one of the reasons that well over tens of millions of people around the world have been able to see the show. But did you know that less than 5% of viewers actually pay for it? Now, you probably have some questions when I say that. One of which, well, if it's free, how does anyone pay for it? And wait a minute, how can it be free? How do you actually afford to do the show if the show is free? And if so few people pay for it, how do you finance the production of the seasons or even market it? Well, we rely on you to choose to donate, if you can. Now, to be very clear, if you can't donate, if you can't afford it, or if for whatever reason you want to wait until all seven seasons are finished to make sure we don't do something awful, I understand that, so don't donate. I don't want you to. That's why the show is free. But if you do want to ensure we get to do all seven seasons of this show, there's some really cool storylines coming up you may have heard of. And if you want us to be able to keep it free for viewers all over the world in every country in multiple languages, then we've got a really cool way for you to do that now. Donate to the Come and See Foundation. Yes, I use the word donate. Now, for the first time, it is tax deductible to contribute to the show. It is a donation. I'm going to say that again. You are now able to donate. And here's the really amazing thing. Every dollar you donate here in the app, after the Come and See Foundation gets 10%, of course, to run their operations, it goes to producing the show, actual production, the production of the show, the cast and the crew and the equipment and all of that. Your dollar goes towards that production. And what the Come and See Foundation does, in addition to what you're giving to them, they will match dollar for dollar up to the season's budget. So, for example, season four, the budget's going to be around $40 million. So up until the $40 million mark, they will match you dollar for dollar for marketing and language translation. Yes, that's to expand the show around the world. We want this show translated in hundreds of languages and dubbed in at least 25 languages much quicker than we've been able to thus far. That's what you are doing. You are helping us produce the show. The Come and See Foundation is matching it to expand the reach of the show.
So that's pretty major. That's a huge announcement that they have a charity organization, a 501c3, to fund their show, the production, key words there. They're funding the production and also the marketing and the translation. Those are all huge expenses. Those are the primary expenses of The Chosen. Like running a website or maybe even an app, which might also count as, you know, something that the Chosen Foundation, which is called Come and See, also funds. Who knows? But it sounds like all their major expenses, the production and marketing, those are the two biggest expenses in any film or television project, all covered by a tax-deductible donations through a 501c3 organization. That is huge as far as an advantage that The Chosen has over their competitors. And their competitors would be secular television.
Our production budgets are actually quite relatively small. Most successful shows average $10 to $20 million per episode.
Speaking of competitors,
we don't have a big studio or network financing operations, but they're billions of dollars.
I don't know if you saw that there, but there was a pride flag in that shot there. Again, it wasn't prominently displayed as prominently displayed as it was, you know, in the video where this controversy got out, but it is nonetheless there. So this Dallas Jenkins is telling the truth about one thing, and this has been there for a while.
They can afford to finance multiple shows, but we're not able to do that. Now, I want to be very clear. You're donating to the Come and See Foundation, not me, not my company. We're a for-profit. We operate from gift sales and commercial licensing. But the production funds come from you donating in this app, and it goes to the Come and See Foundation. So thank you for donating. Thank you for helping us produce episode.
So, again, I just played that so you hear what I'm saying in his own words, what he's saying as I explain it, because, again, I'm not making up how they make their money and what exactly Dallas Jenkins, you know, believes his role is, because he's basically having you, through a charity organization, fund all his major expenses so he can then, his company can then reap all the benefits from merchandising and licensing, which, again, licensing, that's basically the intellectual property ownership. That's where the money is. So it's not like he's paying back, you know, the people that crowdfunded and gave him all the money. He's not reimbursing them. He's keeping all the profit to himself. Now, again, their profit model is a little different, but, again, when they have theatrical releases, when they have DVD sales and other merchandise sales, when they have YouTube ad revenue, it all adds up to he's making a pretty penny as far as his take-home at the end of the day, because his major expenses are already covered. He doesn't have to worry about that. That must be nice. So the Come and See Foundation, going back to that, since they're now the player that we're going to talk about that, the Come and See Foundation is eerily reminiscent of the He Gets Us campaign, which also struggled to present a biblical Jesus, and that's a diss that I have to include, and was near universally panned for its vacuous commercials. For starters, the board of directors includes Mark Green, a prominent figure behind the He Gets Us campaign. Green is part of the Hobby Lobby family and serves as their ministry investment officer. Perhaps the same mechanism used to fund the He Gets Us campaign is also at play in the matching donations. But as this public charity is new, this information is not yet available. So we can't look through Signatory and see, you know, how much or who gave to the Chosen and stuff like that. So we can't really see that. Stan Jantz is the Big Even executive and is the CEO of the Come and See after helming the Evangelical Christian Publishers Association, the ECPA, as it's otherwise known as, and has been on the board of Biola University, a woke evangelical university. So that's pretty big. Here's the Come and See Foundation website, and this is their staff and board of directors. Nothing really shady to be seen. I mean, Mark Green's pretty shady because of the Hobby Lobby thing. Stan Jantz has been around the Big Eva block. A lot of these people have very low online footprints. Rob Hoskins seems like he's very favorable to the He Gets Us campaign, which is pretty cringe, but isn't woke, which is surprising, and isn't, you know, pro-gay or anything like that from what I can tell. So very low online footprints for a lot of those people, though, which I thought was pretty interesting. So as the Pride flag appeared on set of season 4 during its ongoing campaign to fund the season, so just to be clear, the Chosen is currently fundraising for the season that they're currently shooting, which is season 4. Evangelical Dark Web reached out for comment on allowing Pride flags on set and then subsequently glamorizing them in a behind-the-scenes video. Dallas Jenkins claimed that there is no corporate prayer on set, which I think is very telling, and whether the Come and See Foundation believes that homosexuality is a sin and that its promotion has no place in a production about the authentic Jesus. And that's in quotes, by the way, because that's their line. The response that I got from the Come and See Foundation was a generic response from Stan Jantz, who pointed us to Dallas Jenkins, basically sent us the Dallas Jenkins response video. Jenkins is not listed among the officers or board members of Come and See, yet nevertheless is the spokesperson on their major issues. It's worth noting that I believe it would be a severe conflict of interest for Dallas Jenkins to be attached to this organization. This is kind of like a political campaign and a super PAC. They're not supposed to touch, but they are working in lockstep with each other. They are, there is some sort of coordination going on, but they're not supposed to touch. And that's kind of what this is. Dallas Jenkins isn't touching the Come and See Foundation, but he's promoting it a lot, which might actually be more touching than the example in politics that I just provided. But nonetheless, he is touching, and he is promoting it because it's basically they're using this to get around tax law. That's what this is. However, there is some good news. It does appear that they may refund upset donors should they email them about the issue. And that issue is Pride flags on set. Given the response that we received, having never donated, so Stan Jantz's response was though I was the donor who was upset. That's not really what it was. But nonetheless, that's what his response was. It was highly generic boilerplate, and there's one relevant paragraph about the Pride flag controversy, which didn't name the Pride flag controversy, but that's what it was about. That's what it was in reference to. They didn't frame it that way, which is really shady, by the way. Biola University is also pretty weak on the homosexuality question, by the way. They are side B proponents. And they also just hired Ed Stetzer, who's a major side B proponent. So that's just further evidence for, you know, Biola being compromised and Stan Jantz being connected to Biola, thus also likely being compromised on this issue as well. So that's some good news. If you ever donated to the Chosen, you can probably get your money back if you donated on their current campaign. Trouble in Paradise, and I cross that out and write Utah. So Trouble in Utah. The Come and See Foundation seems directly at odds with Angel Studios and is one of three major moves by the Chosen that seems as though it is asserting control from its Mormon business partners. Earlier this year, it was announced that Lionsgate secured global theatrical release rights to The Chosen, just as Angel Studios invested in theatrical distribution. So The Chosen's trying to get into theatrical release, and Angel Studios is trying to get in theatrical release, but The Chosen signed with Lionsgate. Caused a little bit of confusion because the Angel Studios or someone had to come out with a statement saying, hey, Angel Studios is still involved in the domestic distribution. So they caused a little bit of a kerfuffle over that story that was from a couple of weeks ago. Additionally, The Chosen has made its own app, which will play a key role in this divide. So there's the Angel Studio app, which is what I actually have on my phone. I have their app on my phone, the Mormon app. And
I just wanted to say, even though it appears that The Chosen, Inc. is trying to, move away from Angel Studios and its exclusive distribution rights by signing with Lionsgate, that doesn't mean that they're not Mormons still involved, because some folks from Angel Studios have come on board as being a part of The Chosen, Inc., and one guy in particular that's pretty big in the Mormon church is the president, and then Dallas is still partnered with Daryl Eves and some of the other folks that we've talked about in the past. So there's still a Mormon connections, but it just seems like there's this kind of schism between The Chosen and Angel Studios right now. And Lionsgate, it's a huge mainstream Hollywood distribution company. They own the distribution rights to a lot of movies, TV shows, and now they're getting aligned with The Chosen as well. So that's something new that just happened a couple of months ago.
Chosen made its own app. So here's where the division takes a hold. So The Chosen then came up with the Come and See Foundation for its fundraising models. And for the audio listeners, I'm going to read it. So The Chosen, if you donate directly to the Come and See Foundation or through The Chosen app, 90% goes to The Chosen and 10% goes to the Come and See Foundation for their operational upkeep, which is actually not bad as far as charities are concerned. So 90% of the pie, if you donate through The Chosen, is not only, and then additionally, it's tax deductible and it's donor matched, dollar for dollar, up to the fundraising threshold, which is $20 million. That's a lot of money. So, and then you can also donate through the Angel app, which is 52% is going to go to Angel Studios, the Mormons. 38% is going to go to The Chosen, and then 10% is going to go to the Come and See Foundation. And then there's the Pay It Forward contributions made to Angel Studios, in which 58% go to Angel Studios, 40% to The Chosen, 2% to the Come and See Foundation. Fans of The Chosen are clearly incentivized to maximize their dollars by donating directly through The Chosen app or the Come and See Foundation. Angel Studios is viewed as a middleman in this new dynamic, and a middleman that takes over 50%. So not exactly a good deal for this new system is not a good deal for Angel Studios. Angel Studios is looking like they're getting edged out of The Chosen and the money that is to be made from this cash cow that is The Chosen. And remember, it's a cash cow because it has a cult following. So let's talk about the ethical issues. We've kind of, talked about the facts of the case, except for one fact that I'm about to talk about. It must be nice for a for-profit company to create a charity to have its largest expenses covered. Dallas Jenkins claiming that The Chosen isn't a ministry is functionally a lie. According to the IRS, the exempt purposes set forth in Section 501c3 are charitable, religious, educational, scientific, literary, testing for public safety, fostering national or international amateur sports competition, and preventing cruelty to children or animals. The term charitable is used in its generally accepted legal sense and includes relief of the poor, the distressed or the underprivileged, the advancement of religion, advancement of education or science, erecting or maintaining public buildings, monuments, or works, lessening the burdens of government, lessening neighborhood tensions, eliminating prejudice and discrimination, defending human and civil rights secured by law, and combating community deterioration and juvenile delinquency. And the Come and See Foundation would apply for 501c3, most likely under religious qualifications, according to Come and See. Come and See is a 501c3 established by a group of passionate believers and experienced professionals to come alongside the Chosen to grow its reach and impact globally. Our goal is to provide resources, technology, ministry connections, and expertise to help the Chosen reach its goal of having a billion people experience an authentic Jesus through this series and related content. So by any conventional understandings, Come and See is a ministry, one created for the sole purpose of advancing the interests of a for-profit company. And that's just me being blunt, but it's true. That's their existence is for the sole interest of a for-profit company. You can say that for-profit company has lofty goals that are good, but let's be real, The Chosen isn't a high-quality TV show. It does not present an authentic Jesus. It does not really have reverence for the source material or the historical context. It's very much fiction, fan fiction, I would argue. So anyway, which we've covered a lot in a lot of videos on The Chosen in my episodic review. So the public would rightly be indignant if Disney had a 501c3 to fund the live-action remake of The Little Mermaid. Yet The Chosen can get by with this by taking severe advantage of nonprofit laws. Additionally, this means that the production of Season 4, of which the pride flag was displayed, was funded by the religious nonprofit organization. Dallas Jenkins assumes that the production wasn't part of a ministry, ignoring the nonprofit organization he peddled to fund his expenses and the common understanding of what donating through a ministry entails. Again, the normal person would assume that if you're donating to The Chosen through the Come and See Foundation, that this is a ministry project. This show is a ministry effort. For him to say, oh, it's not a ministry effort at all. Well, being paid by everything you're doing is being paid for by a charity organization that you set up. Not directly, of course, because that would probably be a conflict of interest. But there's enough cult followers that would set up the organization for Dallas Jenkins that he doesn't need to do it. So, and that's what you're seeing here. So much of the same infrastructure that helped create the He Gets Us campaign is also backing up The Chosen. So The Chosen, it is highly unethical for The Chosen to embrace values on set that contradict the stated or implied values of the nonprofit organization funding them. Again, Come and See Foundation seems like a generically Christian organization. They talk about Jesus. They don't have any statement of faith from what I can tell, but they got a bunch of Big Eva players. It is a generically Christian organization, so therefore it should be assumed that they're against sodomy, but not too much assumed. But nonetheless, The Chosen contradicts these stated implied values with its handling and management of its set. It appears as though The Chosen is, and this is how I'm going to conclude. The Chosen is riding the gravy train with its new infrastructure of tax-deductible donations to cover the major expenses. Then they also have the theatrical release and the sources of revenue that they do not have to share or reinvest in the show because, again, they're getting tax-deductible donations to cover what they ordinarily, when a normal business, what a competitor of The Chosen would have to do is reinvest. But The Chosen, the profits, they don't have to reinvest the profits. So that's The Chosen. I think there's a lot of glaring ethical issues going on here with how they run their business. I think it is highly unethical to create a 501c3 organization to fund the expenses of a TV show. I think that's pretty unethical, especially when the TV show is owned in whole by a for-profit company. These are ethical issues, and it also just blows the fact that Dallas Jenkins is lying in the grand scheme of things when he says that The Chosen isn't a ministry. Because there's three organizations working together with The Chosen. So if The Chosen is a product, is a project, there's three organizations involved as stakeholders in the project. You got The Chosen LLC. So Chosen LLC. Then you have Angel Studios. And then you have the Come and See Foundation. This is the triumvirate of The Chosen. And it's quickly looking like Angel Studios is the Crassus in this arrangement. He's just going to have a very early demise, is what I mean by that. So, because Crassus dies. But that's what it's looking like. They have a little triumvirate going on here, and it looks like it's not going to last. I think there's trouble in Utah, not paradise, but Utah. So, anyway, that's the big story about The Chosen. My name's Ray. It's the Evangelical Dark Web. If you like this kind of content, subscribe.
Okay, so that's the deal with some of the money and some of these new developments when it comes down to The Chosen, Inc. And its business dealings and how easy it is to get pulled into some unethical things when we get involved like Dallas is doing. Sometimes it can become about the money, and then there's Hollywood with Lionsgate and that deal, which opens up even more theaters for theatrical releases and some of these other things they've been experimenting with can grow and even bigger because of this deal with Lionsgate, which means more money. And also, even though Dallas in his live was talking about how Lionsgate would not have any creative control over the show and what goes in it or anything like that, you know, there is it can be cultural pressure because now you're in bed with Hollywood as well, and so now they have a culture there in Hollywood and in society as a whole. So I am going to pivot a little bit just to talk about some of this because there has been some things coming. This is so-called Pride Month, although we know from Scripture what the Lord thinks about pride and how he resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So this societal norm is revolving around just complete turning away from God. And what I mean is some things that have been going on with this, because this pride flag thing is kind of related. At the White House last week, I think, or maybe early this week, they had some festivities at the White House that they've been getting some black backlash from that. So we're going to pivot into that and then also move into a sermon that I found that kind of speaks to this stuff, so maybe we can end on a good note as far as what we as believers can be focused on during this time that we're living in, that the Lord warned about. Bible prophecy speaks to the end times and what would precede the coming of the Lord Jesus. So First, we'll listen to a quick news report about the White House events and what happened there, and then we'll move into the sermon.
Tonight, the White House at the center of the latest Pride Month controversy.
Welcome to the White House.
Thank you.
Saying transgender activist Rose Montoya is now barred from future events. It all happened at what was the largest Pride celebration in White House history.
Happy Pride Month.
Montoya posting a reel on Instagram showing her at the event, shaking hands and posing for selfies with the president.
Hi, Mr. President. It is an honor.
Then, after Biden moved on, Montoya standing next to two transgender men who had surgically removed their breasts, all posing topless on the White House lawn. Critics taking to the Internet in outrage. The White House then responding, saying the behavior was inappropriate and disrespectful.
It was unfair to the hundreds of attendees who were there to celebrate their families. It really does not reflect the event that we hosted.
Adding that those in the video will not be invited to future events. But Montoya taking to TikTok to defend her actions.
I would just like to say that, first of all, going topless in Washington, D.C. is legal. Why is my chest now deemed inappropriate or illegal when I show it off? However, before coming out as trans, it was not. I had zero intention of trying to be vulgar or be profane in any way.
It's just the latest flashpoint surrounding Pride Month. Target has been in the spotlight with conservatives complaining about its Pride merchandise, and then after pulling some of it off the shelves, citing the safety of its employees, the store found itself under fire from LGBTQ advocates. The controversy now going beyond debate as NBC News has confirmed bomb threats related to LGBTQ issues to multiple Target stores in at least five states, according to the local police departments involved in these incidents.
There's something going on, but they're not telling us.
Customers confused as some were evacuated over the weekend from this location in Oklahoma City after a threat was sent.
Some of the workers don't even know what's going on.
Police said no explosive devices were found, but a message sent to local news outlets, including NBC affiliate K4, had the date of the Oklahoma City bombing included. In Louisiana, police saying the threat stated it was, quote, due to Target betraying the LGBTQ plus community. It's not clear what the motive was behind the other threats.
All right, we'll stop it there. And one thing I want to point out from the report is the young man. They say it's a she, but it's a male, a female impersonator is what I like to call him, where he's showing off his upper body or his new surgically altered upper body, and there were a couple other folks there that were actually females that were showing off their double mastectomy scars to show that they transitioned supposedly to a male. So that's what was happening in the video. If you haven't seen any of these videos yet, he said in his response, transgender guy was saying, well, it wasn't his intention to be vulgar, but if you see these videos, they are vulgar. And because he knows the city ordinances in D.C. concerning public exposure and indecency, he obviously studied up to know what he could get away with, so you know that what he did was intentional and planned. And that is the culture that we're in, and it seems like when Dallas Jenkins takes the stand that he isn't really going to do anything about this flag and the implications of it being on the set and allowing this guy to promote these things, how he can be a Christian and be aligned with that is beyond me. But that's what was happening at the White House. The guy's been banned from any future events, but, you know, that's where we're at in society. So what I wanted to do, I saw this sermon that came up on my recommends. It was just done this past Sunday talking about a biblical response to the things that we see going on in America and in the world today. And but specifically focusing on America. And the scripture text they're going to be coming from will be Romans 1, verses 18 through 28. So I wanted to play this sermon for the remainder of the show. And if I don't get a chance to chime in after it's over, depending on our time, I just want to thank everyone for listening, and have a great rest of your day and week. And here is the sermon, A Biblical Response to the Transing of America.
We're going to be Romans chapter 1. We'll get to it eventually, but that's going to be kind of the text for our study this morning. But let's first have a word of prayer, and then I'll explain to you, for those of you who are new, like why the disclaimer of the content. It's going to be a little bit heavy today, but you'll understand as we get into it. Let's first have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we just want to settle our hearts before you. We are thankful for the cross. We are thankful for Jesus who died on the cross. We're thankful, Lord, that you love us so much that you would send your Son to rescue us from our own sinful hearts and from this sinful world. And Lord, we pray now that you would help us to navigate this murky culture, that we would be good ambassadors of yours, but at the same time, we would never cave in or capitulate to the culture. And so, Lord, we need your help with all of this. We pray, God, that you would be with us. We pray, Lord, that you would go before us now, that you would put a guard over the door of my mouth, and, Lord, that you'd be glorified in our time. Help us, we pray, by your Holy Spirit. It's in Jesus' name we ask these things, and everybody said amen. Well, in light of the recent cultural chaos and the corporate controversies, I felt that it was time to address some of these things head on through a biblical lens with a teaching today that I've entitled A Biblical Response to the Transing of America. C.S. Lewis once said, quote, "When the whole world is running towards a cliff, he who is running the opposite direction appears to have lost his mind," end quote. And so the world might think that we're the crazy ones because we don't embrace the stuff of the culture, that we don't celebrate the stuff that is happening in our culture right now. In reality, we are running away from the cliff, and we want to take as many people who are on verge of falling off the cliff with us away from the cliff, because it's utter madness what is happening in our world today. Amen. I took 9 years of Latin. The word trans is a preposition in Latin, and it means over, beyond, or across. And we use the word trans often as a prefix in a lot of our English words. A transatlantic flight is a flight that goes across the ocean. It goes over the ocean. The country of Jordan was originally called Transjordan because it was located across the Jordan River from Israel. We use the word in a lot of ways in our English vocabulary, but today the word trans has become a very loaded word. And so I've intentionally adopted it. I've put it in single quotes because I want to take time through a biblical lens to look at the transing of America, how America has crossed over, how we have gone beyond what we once were to what we are now. And what we are now is a culture in chaos. We are a culture in chaos, rife with gender confusion and sexual perversion and this so-called woke agenda. And it all needs a biblical response. I want to begin by making it clear that this is not a sermon in any way of hatred or harm. We don't hate anyone, and we certainly don't want anyone to be harmed who might be different or who might believe differently from us as Christians. Despite the fact that our church is listed on a Facebook website where people have been taking shots, they have a list, and there are people on that Facebook list. It's being investigated now by the Attorney General and the Sheriff's Office, because people who have been writing things about those on the list, some of them have been wishing harm
for people on that list. Our church is on that list. Okay, but that's not us. We're not like that, and no one should interpret anything I say as inciting hatred or harm toward anyone. Now, I hope I've made myself clear by saying that, but I will be honest with you, I've been in this pulpit long enough to know that I can say boo, and someone will email me or take to social media and accuse me of, that's microaggression, right? Right? When you said boo, that's microaggression. Microaggression. You said boo, you're gaslighting us like ghosts. That's what you're doing. You're gaslighting. Okay? I've been around the block enough to know that no matter what I say or how well I try to say it, somebody's going to take an issue. So to all the keyboard cowards who are watching, okay? This is simply a biblical response to the madness of the culture with a heart to want to rescue those who have been swept up by the madness of the culture. That's what this is about today. And to illustrate that point, I want to begin by sharing a story close to home here at Cornerstone, okay? A few months ago, we had a young man come here to our congregation, I say young, 30-ish, wearing a spaghetti strap, silk dress, and heels and makeup, identifying as a woman, sat right down here on the second row. And at first, I have to be honest with you, I wondered, what's the agenda? You're going to get up, you're going to shout in the middle of the service, or you're going to call your friends and come here and disrupt things. And so I was curious, but, you know, not wanting to jump to conclusions, so just kind of waiting. He never did any of that. I want to thank those of you, and you know who you are, who intentionally would sit next to him and gently whisper truth to him and tell him about how Jesus loves him and that we're praying for him and want God's best for him. I was also told that there were some of you who would try to engage him in the parking lot coming or going to do the same thing, to try to speak truth to him, to whisper that to him. He never was a distraction. He would come week after week. We ended up learning that he had been previously married. He shared custody of a child. And he would sometimes, when he had custody, he would sometimes bring the child with him and register his child in our children's ministry and put the child in Sunday school. And I thought to myself, the child's going to hear the gospel and he's going to hear the gospel. And there were times in the course of my teaching that I would even touch on, because I always try to use the Bible as it can be relevant to everyday aspect of life. And so there were times in the course of his being here that I would even talk about gender confusion, not because he was sitting on the second row and I was trying to target him, but because it was just in my notes, it was part of what I was going to say. And hopefully he would hear the truth and some of this would resonate with him and God would use it. And he would sit there and he would listen. And there were times that he would applaud even things that I was saying, literally applaud. And he was a little bit of a distraction to some of you. I got some emails, not nasty emails, but just people saying, are you aware that there's a guy in a silk spaghetti dress who's registering his kids in children's ministry, and what's he doing back there? And yes, we know, we've seen him, we understand. And he became the topic of a lengthy discussion in our pastor's meeting. And I said to our pastors, look, we're going to have to just give it some time. We're going to have to give it some time. He can't serve anywhere, but he needs to come and he needs to listen. We're going to pray for him. And we're going to hope that God gets a hold of his heart and that he understands the love of Jesus and the transforming work of Jesus. So we're going to just monitor this, but we're going to give it some time. Listen, folks, people don't show up to church all cleaned up. They show up to church messed up. They show up to church lost. It's true. They show up to church lost like sheep without a shepherd, and our desire is to introduce them to the chief shepherd, Jesus, so people can know him and understand him. And if we were to just simply say, you have to leave, then where would would he hear the life-changing relationship he can have in Jesus? So we needed to monitor it, and we were. But I said to my pastors, this requires a conversation. And one of our pastors, I think it was Mike Frick, because he's good at this. And so what we decided was we needed to have this kind of conversation with him. And so on one of the Sundays he attended here, Pastor Mike pulled him aside very quietly, discreetly, and basically said this to him: we're glad that you're here, and we want you to come into a relationship with Jesus, and we want your child to know Jesus, and so we're praying for you. We have one request, and the one request is that you honor, for the protection of women and girls, our request that you never go into the women's restroom here at Cornerstone Chapel. That was our one request, okay? Yeah, we have to protect the women and girls. And that isn't making a judgment against him per se. It's just inappropriate. He's a biological male. And so we said to him, when we had this building built, we didn't do it for any political correctness, but we have a few restrooms that are single-stall family restrooms. And so we said to him, please use one of those. Initially, he was miffed, but he calmed down. He heard Mike, and he said he would oblige, and he agreed. And he kept coming for a few weeks until one day he tried to enter the women's restroom. And we have been keeping an eye on him for that reason, because we wanted to be sure for the safety of women and girls that we were going to protect the bathrooms. And so when he tried to enter one of the restrooms, one of our security guys, who's about 6'6", 6'7", close to 300 pounds, body blocked him and said, you were not holding up to the one thing we asked you to do, at which point he got mad and he left and he hasn't been back. I share this story with you. I lead with this story because I want you to understand that we must never lose the mission of the church because of our outrage over the madness in the world. You should feel a sense of outrage over the cultural chaos, but direct it towards Satan. He is the liar and the father of lies. He is the one who is deceiving people and robbing them of the truth. Your outrage should never blind you to the lost and hurting people around you, even if they don't presently see how lost and hurting they are. They will. In time, they will. And what then? Because you will not be able to help them find Jesus if you are so angry. But neither will you be able to help them find Jesus if you are so affirming. If you are affirming the delusion, if you are condoning the lies, you will never help them understand the truth and the freedom that is found in Jesus. We must hold the line on truth. And we must also recognize what Peter said in 1 Peter 3:15 to 16. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. You see, offering the right cure requires first the right diagnosis. And here's the diagnosis of what's happening right now in our world. What is happening in corporate America, what is happening in girls' sports, what is happening on college campuses and in public schools as it relates to the gender confusion and sexual perversion and the woke agenda is complete and utter madness. It needs to be understood. That's what it is. It is madness. Look, when Target is selling women's bathing suits that are tuck-friendly, okay, tuck-friendly, do we really need this, ladies? No, you don't. That's madness. And for their Pride Month, Target has partnered with a clothing line called Aprilin, a London-based company which is headed by a transgender Satanist named Eric Carnell. The development of all this came from this guy who's a self-identified Satanist. Last year, Carnell wrote, this guy, he's a transgender. I honestly don't know what his biological sex is, because I sometimes get confused. Which way did you transgender? I don't even know. So I'm not trying to be funny. I honestly don't know. But regardless, let me tell you what he posted, what Carnell posted on his company's Instagram page last year. Quote, being called a demon is something I can cope with, and the idea of a trans demon is pretty blank cool. Most of my work focuses on gothic or dark and satanic imagery juxtaposed with bright colors and LGBT plus positive messages. This is who Target partnered with. Now, Target apparently has since either moved his display to the back or severed. I'm not sure what the relationship is now, but now Carnell is mad at Target's response. But this is madness. When North Face has a guy with a mustache wearing a rainbow dress as their spokesman, inviting people to explore the outdoors where there will be, quote, hiking, community, art, lesbians, and lesbians making art, end quote, that's madness. When Disney has a guy with a mustache wearing a dress and welcoming little girls into the enchanted chamber, that's madness. When Kohl's targets children and infants to promote the LGBTQ agenda with these outfits, that's madness. When approved reading material in the school system is so pornographic that when parents read excerpts of the approved reading material at public school board meetings and the school board people tell those parents to stop reading it because it's inappropriate, but yet somehow it's appropriate for the children to read, that's what? That's madness. When biological boys and men are allowed to compete in girls and women's sports and rob them of victories and use their bathrooms, that's madness. Whatever happened to Title IX? What happened to the feminists who were always championing the cause of women, but now they're silent? And then you have NCAA swimmer Riley Gaines speaking out against it, and she's canceled and assaulted when she went to speak at San Francisco State University, and she has to have bodyguards to rescue her from the woke mob. That's madness. By the way, we've been in touch with Riley Gaines. She almost made it here today, but she will be coming. She will be coming here tomorrow. And let's bring it closer to home. When churches are flying the rainbow flag and affirming sexual sin, that is madness. There was a lady who attends our church who lives over in Vienna. She was driving here and took a picture of the billboard of a church in Vienna, texted it to Pam on our staff. It was Emmaus United Church of Christ, and their billboard reads this. This is what it's there right now as I speak. It says this, quote, Drag Story Hour, Sunday, June 4th, today, 12 noon, at that church. They ought to take the word church out of their name. It's not a church. When the LA Dodgers invite, uninvite, and then invite again to Dodger Stadium an anti-Christian hate group called the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, whose motto is, quote, go forth and sin more, that's madness. This group that I'm talking about is a group of men who dress up as nuns. They got an award at Dodger Stadium. And in their performance, I didn't even put a picture of the worst part of the performance. Just this guy here who's, you know, simulating Jesus on a cross. There was another guy who did a pole dance around him doing homosexual acts, all suggestive stuff, while this guy, portraying in an evil way Christ on the cross, is hanging there. This is madness. Let me tell you a bright spot on the L.A. Dodgers bench, pitcher Blake Treinen. So I'm on a group text with a few what I call faith and freedom-loving guys in the country. It's just a small group text, guys like Jack Kibbs, Charlie Kirk, Rob McCoy, Seth Gruber. Sean Foyt is on this. So Sean Foyt is the one leading these worship groups around the country. And so Sean texted us a letter that he got from, because he's friends with Blake Treinen and the pitcher on the Dodgers. And Blake said to Sean, can you please text this out to your friends? I'm trying to get this letter out. And so Sean texted this to us. And I'm going to only read the first and the last paragraph, but this is a bright spot in what's happening. This is what Blake writes. First paragraph, quote, I'm disappointed to see the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence being honored as heroes at Dodger Stadium. Many of their performances are blasphemous, and their work only displays hate and mockery of Catholics and the Christian faith. Last paragraph, he says, I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. I believe the Word of God is true, and in Galatians 6:7 it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. This group openly mocks Jesus Christ, the cornerstone of my faith, and I want to make it clear that I do not agree with nor support the decision of the Dodgers to, quote, honor the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. Frankly, none of this madness should surprise us. The Bible says that this is what happens when a society rejects, removes, or replaces God. I want to read to you out of Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 28, so we can understand what is happening in our culture is something that the Bible clearly predicted. It's what happens when you remove, replace, or reject God. Now, I normally read out of the New King James, but I'm going to read this passage out of the old 84 NIV because I think it captures the language best. Okay, so whatever translation you might be reading from, this is Romans 1. I'm going to read verses 18 to 28 in the old NIV, but this is what it says. Romans 1:18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for the images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, verse 24, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Verse 28, furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, listen, we've rejected God, we've removed him, we've replaced him. This is what God says. He gave them over. God gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. Amen. This is like reading a newspaper. What God says is, if you reject me, if you replace me, if you remove me from a culture, from a society, I will leave you to your own vices and it will not be pretty. Because you will end up spiraling to a dark place based on your own flesh and carnal evil desires. And so God says, I will give you over to them. If that's what you want, I'm going to give you over to those things. And one of the things he says here is a depraved mind. It is important to understand three quick points that when a nation or a society rejects, removes, or replaces God, the first thing that happens is God gives them over to a depraved, or some translations say a debased, King James says a reprobate mind. In other words, madness sets in. Again, it's Romans 1:28. Since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. Number two, when a society rejects, removes, or replaces God, people become deceived and delusional. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 9-11, it says, the coming of the lawless one is in according with to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Now notice with me, it speaks here about the lawless one, the coming of the lawless one. That is a reference to the Antichrist. I underline two words in the text, deception and delusion, because what Paul is writing here to the church at Thessalonica is that the culture will be conditioned to receive and welcome the Antichrist, whom they think will be Messiah, because along the way leading up to the advent of Antichrist, the culture has been rejecting, removing, and replacing God, and thus they're deceived and delusional, so no wonder they're going to be ripe for receiving the Antichrist that they think is the Messiah. Paul says, don't be deceived and don't be delusional. And that happens when you reject and remove God, and then the condition will be perfect for people to accept and receive the Antichrist, because they're already deceived and they're already delusional. The Bible predicts this. Number three, when a nation or a society rejects, removes, or replaces God, it unleashes the demonic. Literally releases and unleashes the demonic. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, how many of you understand we're living in latter times right now? In latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. People will believe demonic things because demons will be inspiring these lies. Did you know, this is interesting, again, this isn't to make fun of, this is simply to point out through a biblical lens. Do you know that in the Bible, examples of those who use plural pronouns, we, them, demons. There's a story in Mark chapter 5 where Jesus goes to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, to the region of the Gadarenes, because there is a man who is possessed by a demon, and Jesus is going there to set him free, to heal him, to deliver him. The text tells us in Mark 5 that the man was possessed, or the man had an singular unclean spirit. Not plural, singular. But how many of you understand even one demon is too many, right? So this guy is possessed by a demon. He has an unclean spirit. And in the process of Jesus delivering this guy from his demonic possession, in Mark 5, 9, Jesus asked him, singular pronoun, what is your name? And the demon speaks to this man. My name, singular pronoun, my name is Legion, he replied, for we are many. When a society rejects, removes, or replaces God, from these three passages I just read to you, there are four D words that have come out of it, and here are the words. We become depraved, deceived, delusional, and demonic. And the one who is inspiring all of these things is a D word himself, is the devil. It's Satan. Satan himself. This is all Satan's attempt to pervert what God has designed and blessed. Satan is going after God's design of biological sex. Satan is going after God's design of marriage between a man and a woman and exclusive sexual intimacy between them. And Satan is going after the most vulnerable and precious of all of God's creation, both inside the womb and outside the womb, the children. He's going after your children. And it isn't the first time, and it won't be the last. Look at the example of Nazi Germany with Hitler's youth movement of the 1930s. Satan inspired a madman, Hitler, to go after the children. Millions of children were indoctrinated with rewritten history and distorted biology to perpetuate this myth, this lie of a superior race. And not just the kids were believing it. Thousands of teachers joined the Nazi Teachers Association, otherwise known today as the NEA. But anyway, it's true. You need to do your homework. Thousands of teachers joined the Nazi Teachers Association and believed the propaganda and spread the propaganda. Educated, smart adults believed the lie and perpetuated the lie. How is that possible? Satan. Because he's a liar and the father of lies. To quote Adolf Hitler, he said this, quote, "I want to raise a generation of young people devoid of a conscience, imperious, relentless, and cruel," end quote. Satan has done it before and he's doing it again. Now, you might wonder in all of the madness, after Bud Light lost billions of dollars with its campaign ad featuring Dylan Mulvaney, a biological male in a dress, you might be wondering, why are other companies willing to follow suit and suffer financially for it? Example, headline this week, Target losses swell to $12.4 billion, shares at lowest since 2020. Like, why are they doing this? Why are they following this terrible lead of Bud Light? Okay, I'm going to submit to you two reasons, all right? Here's the first one. Because they are willing to suffer short-term financial losses for long-term cultural gains. There is an evil agenda. And corporate America is willing to suffer a little bit financially in order to advance this evil agenda. Like, this isn't conspiracy stuff. You need to understand this is the reality of what is happening. It is an intentional agenda. Now, look, to illustrate this so that we understand from our perspective, using a completely opposite illustration with opposite values, Christians follow the same financial principles. We were following it before the world started doing what they're doing in a very different evil way. And what do I mean? Christians, if you're a Christ follower, you know that under the lordship of Jesus, everything belongs to Jesus. Money is not king. Jesus is king. And so as Christians, what we realize is sometimes we will take a financial hit in order to advance or to comply with the greater Christian values that we hold dear to our heart because we want to honor and please God in everything. So example, sometimes you will take a lower paying job as a Christian because you want to spend more time with your family. And the higher paying job was more demanding, robbed you of time with your wife and your kids. And so sometimes we're willing to do things like take a lower paying job in order to spend more time with our families because money is not king. Godly principles is king, and Jesus is king. In the same way, for example, some of you have made a decision that you're going to tighten your belt and live on one income so that mom can stay home with the young kids, and you're going to take a little bit of a financial hit because you want to do something that promotes and advances Christian values that honor Jesus. Okay? So we've been doing this. And what's happened is corporate America has caught on. And they're like, okay, we're going to do that too. Only for very different reasons with very different values. They now have an evil agenda that they've decided they want to advance, and the bottom line dollar on the corporate spreadsheet is not as important as advancing this agenda. That's what is happening. That's what they're doing. They're willing to sacrifice a little bit of the money to advance the cultural gains of their evil agenda. And there is an agenda. I can't believe I'm going to quote him, but Bill Maher has actually woken up to this. Bill Maher, if you ever, you know, he's a potty mouth and he's got a lot of liberal views. But on this, he's calling out what he calls the woke revolution. Bill Maher pointed out that the woke revolution is following the same pattern as China under Chairman Mao's cultural revolution of the 1960s. Mao ordered his citizens, ordered them to throw off what he called the four olds, O-L-D-S, Throw off old thinking, old culture, old customs, and old habits. And those who resisted, they actually went around and put dunce caps on people's heads and so to shame them. And if that didn't work, they would kill you. If you resisted the Cultural Revolution and you didn't buy into this new revolution, this new humanity, they would kill you. You know, almost 1 million Chinese died under the Mao Revolution. It was horrific. Because if you didn't comply, then the purifiers would come after you, known as the Red Guard. The Red Guard would come after you. And the only way you could survive, was to plead insanity and to apologize and to join the mob. And then you had to submit to what they called re-education, Bill Maher said, or as we call it in America, freshman orientation. Because our academies, our places of higher learning, they've all started to adopt all this madness. So there's a comparison here, even to the Cultural Revolution of Mao. And I'm telling you, you know, it is a wild day when I am quoting Bill Maher. That's how bad it is. But let me tell you a second reason why it is likely that these companies are willing to suffer financial loss. Number two is because they are more interested in a high CEI score than customer satisfaction. Now, I'm going to walk to the back to illustrate this. What in the world does this mean? So here's a little chart I put together, because you can always follow the money and find out what's behind what. Okay, so let's follow the money. CEI stands for Corporate Equality Index. It's a rating system for how diverse and inclusive a company is and how well it supports the Alphabet Plus / woke agenda. Okay, so there's a score that these companies want to get. Now, in the case of Target, for example, Target's largest stockholders are Vanguard, State Street, and BlackRock. These corporations support the CEI. Now, They're bankrolling. They're behind financially, okay? So understand, BlackRock is the world's largest asset holder, okay? They're an investment management company. They hold the largest assets of any organization in the world. You know how much? $8.5 trillion. That's how much. So the CEO of Target wants to please the shareholders, or else he's out of a job because he gets a low CEI score. And thus, you follow the money further. The CEI scoring system was set up by the Human Rights Campaign. The HRC spent millions lobbying Congress. We're going to try to get our agenda through the legislative branch because we want this perpetrated upon the American culture. So they're spending millions trying to advance all of this. And follow it further, the Human Rights Campaign is owned by the Open Society Foundation. The OSF is funded by George Soros. You can Google all this. It's out there. So let me just explain to you. This is why Target really doesn't care if you boycott them. Because, you see, they've got BlackRock, they've got George Soros, they've got deep pockets behind them, and they're willing to suffer a little financially in order to advance the agenda. Now, about boycotting, let me just say this, because I get asked this a lot. I think that's up to your sanctified conscience. And you need to decide if, when. Here's my, and I don't mean to be flippant about this, but the reality is, how can you boycott the world? This is so deep and infiltrated just about every aspect of almost, not all, but a lot of companies. It's kind of hard if you really do your homework about everything. You know, you might as well hunker down in the hills of, you know, Idaho somewhere with a shotgun and, you know, and grow your own. And some of you are doing that. But here's my only thing to the preppers. The Christian preppers, I say this. You know, okay, fine. You know, be self-supporting and efficient and, you know, have the wells and grow your own corn and all this stuff. But the day somebody shows up at your front porch because they're hungry, you're going to shoot them off your front porch? I mean, what are you going to do? So you're going to have about a day's supply, because if you really want to be like Jesus, you're going to share it. And so then you're going to die after a week. But anyway, here's what I say. Look, people have to decide. You know, my personal thought is maybe at least pick one. and divert your money somewhere else. Now, you might want to pick all. You might want to do everything you possibly can to not give a dime, and that is your prerogative, and that is your personal conviction. And that's okay, too, you know, if that's what you want to do. But you better do your homework, because you might, you know, you can't stay at certain hotels anymore. You know, you can't buy clothing some places anymore. You better do it. It's not just these companies I've listed. This is deep. But the bottom line is, sorry to tell you, they don't really care. There's trillions of dollars behind them, and they want to advance this agenda so badly. They don't really care if there's some short-term losses. So what can we do? Do we just throw up our hands and curse the rainbow? God forbid. But by the way, I got to tell you, you know, it bothers me sometimes. Well, it bothers me all the time. That the rainbow has been stolen from God, because it's God's rainbow. It's in the Bible. We need to take the rainbow back and use it for what it really is. It's a reminder to us that God made a covenant after the flood, where he had the rainbow as a visible demonstration that he promised to never again destroy the entire world by a worldwide flood. That's what the rainbow means. Symbolizes his grace, that he's never going to destroy the world again with a flood. Having said that, he still has fire. And he will use it. Because the Bible says that's the way the earth is going down. It's going to burn. And I'm going to read this because it leads into what can we do. Here's the passage, 2 Peter 3, 10 to 12. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. And since everything will be destroyed in this way, listen to the question. What kind of people ought you to be? What are we supposed to do? And he answers it. You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Amen. So what should we do? There's going to be four quick things. The first one is we have to live a holy life. That's what I just read for us. There's going to be a day when God's going to judge the earth and the people of the earth. And when he's done, he's going to burn the earth up. And those who are with him will be with him forever. And those who are not are going to be sentenced and eventually in the lake of fire. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And so we should long to be with him. This earth is going to be destroyed. And Jesus says, in the meantime, through the pen of Peter, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Amen. In other words, we can't just be yelling at the darkness. We must be walking in the light as he is in the light. We cannot expect God to change the culture unless we are first asking God to change our own sinful hearts. When you look at the world around you, are you troubled by it? Of course. But are you more troubled by it than your own sinful heart? I hope not. Judgment begins with the house of God. And we must first take the log out of our own eye before we are able to help someone with a speck in theirs. We have to look at our own heart. Number two, it's important that we have a healthy home. And by this, I mean spiritually healthy. Praying together, screening what comes into the house over Netflix and Prime and the internet, bringing up your children in the ways of the Lord, talking to them at every opportunity you get about the Lord and the Bible and what the Bible says. This is Deuteronomy 6:7. Listen to what it tells us. Impress them. Okay, talking about God's laws, the Word of God. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Like, use every opportunity to talk to them about the Lord and about the Word. Spend time with them. Don't give me this garbage like, well, it's you know, quality of time. It's not quantity of time. No, it's quantity as well as quality. We have to work hard at this because you want the hearts of your kids to be bonded to the Lord and to be bonded to you more than the world. And know what they are doing. Get into their business, okay? Know what they are doing. Do you know that the average daily screen time on devices for children ages 8 to 12, average daily, 5 hours a day. The average daily screen time for youth ages 13 to 17, 8 hours a day. Parents, you are losing the influence over your kids. to the device in their hands that is feeding their soul lies and misinformation. You had better control that. You had better be on top of that. You have to know what they are looking at. You have to know who they are talking to, or you will lose them to this culture. You say, well, I don't want to be a helicopter parent, you know? That's what I hear. I don't want to be a helicopter parent. I don't want to hover, you know, I don't want to be a helicopter, but I don't want to be one of those. Just give them kind of some freedom. I don't want to be a helicopter. You know what? You know what? You're right. That's true. Don't be a helicopter parent. Be a fighter jet parent. That's what you need to be. Be a fighter jet parent. Be a Lockheed Martin F-22, and you lock in on whatever is attacking your child's mind and heart, and you fight for them. Fight for them. You ought to be on them like cheese on an omelet, ladies and gentlemen. Like Hunter Biden on a laptop. You need to be... That's right. Is that too soon? That might be too soon. All kidding aside, I've shared this statistic with you a few weeks ago. The National Center for Health Statistics reported that the age group, the demographic they are most concerned about because of rising suicide trends about among this one age group more than others, middle school girls. I'm going to tell you something that is just Gary talking right now. I'm going to take off my pastor hat, and I know I have to be careful because the pulpit is a privilege and I don't want to abuse it, but I'm going to just share with you my personal opinion. I don't know that this should be a pastor thing, but I got to tell you something. When it comes to our kids, and I haven't talked to Terry about this, but I'm sure she would agree with me. If we had school-age children today, all our kids are grown. We have grandkids now. We couldn't send them to public school. I just couldn't do it anymore. Now, you have to pray about that. That's your decision. And I don't want to disparage. We have some wonderful Loudoun County Public School teachers that are salt and light in the school system, and we praise God for you, and we thank you. I mean that sincerely. But here's why I'm saying it. And I know it's difficult because what does that mean if you agree with that? It's like, well, some of you can't homeschool, others of you can't afford, you know, private schooling, and so you're in a quandary. But here's why I say this. Let's just say, percentage-wise, this is completely hypothetical, but because I don't know what the numbers would be. Let's just say that in a public school system, and I'm going to be generous, let's just say it's 95% education and 5% indoctrination, okay? I don't want to expose my kids to the 5%. Like I don't want to take the risk that among other things they might be learning well, that 5% is all it's going to take to steal their heart and to fill their minds with lies. In the same way, listen, if you had a glass of water that you knew was 95% pure, but you were told there's 5% poison, would you let your kids drink it? So this is a decision that is difficult for some of you, and I get it. This is in part why we started Cornerstone Christian Academy. We're going to do what we can to try to rescue kids, and we're going to try to do what we can to make it affordable. Our church is underwriting the school by millions of dollars because we're trying to keep tuition so low that it's affordable. And I just want to say this, and please forgive me if you think I'm trying to capitalize on the moment, because I'm really not. This is a plea to rescue children. There are some of you or watching online or here, you could stroke a check for millions, and we could scholarship kids all day long. And we need to, because there are people who can't afford it, and we've dropped the tuition as low as we can. And we are scholarshiping plenty of kids. But we could do even more, and we could try to expand our facility and do whatever it takes, because we want to also be a solution and not just talk about the problem, but things are so precarious these days that you need to pray about where your kids should be educated, because whatever that percentage is, even if it's 5%, it's dangerous what is happening right now to steal the hearts and minds of kids. I got to keep moving on because we got to get out of here. But number three, we also have to have a strong stance. This is 2 Timothy 1:12. I am not ashamed, For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. In other words, don't cave to the culture, friends. Stay strong. Stop affirming the delusion. Stop, I'm going to start, giving people the pronouns that they want. Stop that. You are perpetuating the madness. You are affirming the lies. You can still just call them by their name. You don't have to use pronouns that are inconsistent with their biological sex. You're not helping. It is not loving to affirm a lie. So stop doing that. But because of all this madness in the world, we need to saturate our hearts and minds with the Word of God so that we can counter the lies in our minds with the truth of God's Word. We need our identity to be rooted in Christ at a time especially when people are so confused about their identity. And what I decided to do to just kind of bring this third point to a close is to list six truths from God's Word, just six. What I felt like were six truths that counter the most current lies right now in our culture, okay? And so here they are. You can take a picture of it, or later this will be posted on our website. And I just encourage you, at least get these six truths into your heart so that you can be, fortified against the lies of the culture. So here they are. Number one, God's word is truth and the standard of all that is right and wrong. John 17:17. Jesus said it. Number two, God designed us male and female. Genesis 1:27. Number three, God designed each person with beauty and purpose, being fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14. Number four, God designed sex within the confines of marriage between a man and a woman. Genesis 1:28. Number five, God designed all races with equal value and worth, Acts 10:34-35. And number six, God loves all and died for all in order to save all who would call upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10:9-13. That's the truth. We need to get that into our hearts. And I'll end point number four. I'll end our time kind of where we began. We need to have a tender heart. This is Jude 22-23. It says, be merciful to those who doubt and snatch others from the fire and save them. Jude writes there are people on their way to hell. He says, we need to snatch them from the fire. And we have to have a tender heart in order to do that. There are hurting and confused people in this world who need to know that Jesus saves, heals, and forgives, and that they can have a complete identity in him. Listen to this. A study published recently in the Journal of Sexual Medicine showed that trans kids were prescribed more antipsychotic drugs after beginning gender transition than before. They're hurting. Stats vary, but you can read anywhere from 8-13% of those who have transitioned are detransitioning because they're not happy. May God break our hearts for them and for people in same-sex relationships, and for people who have had abortions, and for all who have been caught up in the madness and the lies. Spurgeon says, in order to be winners of souls, we must first be weepers for souls. And I close with the words of the Apostle Paul from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 14. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to take your stand, to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. In Jesus' name.
Okay, we'll end it there. And I gave some good advice there as to how we can focus and how we should be focusing on these things that are going on, and know that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and the rulers of the and spiritual wickedness in high places. So we just have to keep that in mind. But getting back to Dallas Jenkins and the Chosen, I just asked myself a couple of things. Dallas stated that he didn't care if people stopped watching The Chosen. And I thought about that as he was talking about these corporations and why they're willing to lose money in order to promote these things. So is that what's going on with The Chosen Incorporated? And while he's promoting a false Christ anyway, maybe we as believers, any believers involved with it or promoting it, maybe need to stop promoting it, stop watching it, stop giving them your time and your money. Because if no one's watching or that money takes a dip, because that's what Dallas is about. He's about success as a director and money and power that it, and opportunity that it gives him to perhaps get back into Hollywood, especially with this Lionsgate deal. But another failure might actually be something God can use to finally get his attention. He's already had this happen once, so maybe the Lord can use it for that purpose again. There's nothing wrong with praying for Dallas and hoping that he turns away from these things. But until then, I recommend marking and avoiding. And I hope you enjoyed the sermon here, and have a great rest of your day and week. And that's been my time, and thank you for yours.